morning, Prestonwood. Welcome to church. We're glad you're here. Would you stand and worship with us? There's no one like our Lord. Who is there?
Who was there before there was creation? Who illuminates the stars and sun? Who has set eternity in motion? Oh, there's just one. Who can calm the storm with just a whisper? Who can make the darkest demons run? Who can break the curse of generations? Oh, there's just one. The mighty Lion of Judah, the pure and spotless Lamb, the Alpha and Omega, the good and great I am, the God that saves the nations, the one we bow before. Let every voice sing out, who is like, who is like the Lord? Who can carry sin upon his shoulders? Who endured the cross and scorned its shame? Who was laid to rest like every other, but who rose again and stormed out of
Jesus, there is no other. Jesus, there is no other. Your word will never change. Your name is here to stay. Jesus, there is no other. Jesus, there is no other.
You are the one true King, the Lord over everything. Jesus, there is no other. Jesus, there is no other. Jesus, there is no other. Jesus, there is no other.
The mighty Lion of Judah, the pure and spotless Lamb, the Alpha and Omega, the good and great I am, the God that saves the nations, the one we bow before. Let every voice sing out, who is like, who is like the Lord?
That is why we gather. That's why we worship. We worship a unique God, the Lord over everything. Amen. Welcome to church. We are so glad you're here. My name is Caleb. I'm one of our worship pastors. Before we do anything else, why don't you find someone who's close to you and say good morning to them.
All right, church family, go ahead and be seated. You guys look amazing this morning. Welcome to worship. I want to say welcome to everyone joining us online. Thank you for making this a priority in your Sunday morning. We've got an incredible morning for you. We've got a guest preacher this morning who's really no guest at all to Presswood, Dr. O.S. Hawkins, lifelong friend of our pastor, Dr. Graham. Yes, sir. Pastored mega churches in First Baptist Fort Lauderdale, First Baptist Dallas, and he's got a great word out of Revelation chapter 1 that's going to be incredible. I love Dr. Hawkins, and the thing that I love the most about him is not only is he a great communicator of God's word and a leader in our church, but he is the grandfather. He is Poppy to all of my four kids, so thankful that he is here this morning, and every now and then he lets me win when we play golf. So thank you, OS, for being here today. Well, listen, your faithfulness throughout the summer, God has been on the move. We have not slowed down. We have sped up, and we've been obedient, and we've been going to the nations. And this morning, we have two of our Presswood Christian Academy Lions right here standing to my right that have been involved in our, yeah, go ahead. If you want to give them a hand, that's fine. Ben Bowers and Peyton Farrell were involved in our Presswood student ministry, and God moved in their lives in a unique way, and our pastor wanted you to hear from them. So you guys go ahead and share just a quick testimony.
Awesome, right? Thank you. All right, I may not be a pastor, have years of ministry experience, but I can see God's hand, and I can see when he moves. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about how God's moved in my life recently. So when I was a kid, I kind of lived with a lot of sin and brokenness. We were religious, but we weren't yet born again. So Christianity was more something we did than it was something that we believed or something that we changed our life. So that's how we lived for a long time. I was constantly in sin. I was looking at things I shouldn't. I was arguing with people. I was getting angry. I was doing all these things. But I knew and I felt shame because I knew that wasn't what God had for me. And I knew that he had something more for me because I went to a Christian school. And I saw the experience of God around me. And I heard stories about people living for Christ. And I knew that that's what I wanted, but I felt like there was no way I could ever get there. And that's how I lived for a long time until the summer after my freshman year when I went on my first mission trip with Prestonwood, Jameson at Student Ministry. And on that trip, God started the process of changing my life because on that trip, the community that I was with was absolutely amazing. There was passionate Christians that were on fire for the gospel and willing to share and willing to talk about what Jesus was doing in their lives. So I remember after that trip, the flight back, I was just on the plane and I just broke down and I was crying. I begged God, like, God, I need these relationships in my life. I need friendships like this in my life, people I can turn to find your word and to find your love. So I started seeking that out a lot more at my school, and I started to find that in the Christian community around me. And I started to worship and I started to pray and I started to learn how God could move in my life, and he started to redeem that. But then, even after that, I still could have never imagined, like, sharing my faith or my testimony or preaching in front of people, although this isn't preaching, but talking in front of people. I couldn't really imagine ever being able to do anything like that. But then, this last summer, God really started moving in my life. So I went to beach camp and the choir trip, two awesome trips that Prestonwood puts on, and through those trips, God really started to move. At beach camp, I really experienced a revival of my faith, of what I was supposed to do. And then at UK, I got to preach the gospel to one person for the first time. I got to share my testimony to a stranger. I got to bring people to Christ. And just through that trip, just the amazing experience of just step by step, God bringing me closer and closer to him each time. And through that, I got to see God take my broken life, my sinful life, and transform it into a life that could be living for him. And I could have never imagined that a long time ago. And I'm not saying that there's anything I did, but just to see God move in my life over these last couple years and these last couple months has been absolutely amazing. So I just encourage all you guys, no matter where you are, you can always take that next step in your faith. And if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, James 4:8. So no matter where you feel, even if you feel like you can't get there, even if you feel like I'll never be able to do that for God, if you take that step of faith and step out, he'll meet you there and he'll help guide you and he'll bring you into a new life with him.
Amen, amen.
Hey guys, so I'm Peyton, and this summer was the start of me really like taking my faith into my own hands and making it my own. But like My family and friends have always just been incredible influences on me, and I was privileged enough to grow up in a house just like surrounded by God. I just never let him be truly with me. And this summer is when all of the college things and all the big life changes really start to become real, and I was just getting lost in what I'm supposed to do and what is right, and especially what other people think. So I just went to beach camp really ready to get close to God and just really be able to hear his voice. And I think it's so incredible that we serve a God that when you do really make that effort to get close to him, that he will listen and he will speak. So on one of the worship nights, I just felt this sense of just completeness and wholeness, because in that moment, I was just truly filled by him and him alone. And then when I went back and I looked at all these life changes and every person in my life, they were just like gifts because I was being filled by God and not asking worldly things to fill a godly hole. So I got baptized that day surrounded by my best friends. And before this, I had honestly like never seen a huge point in baptism. Like I had never been baptized when I was a baby. But in this moment, I realized that getting baptized was about telling a world that tries to make you find your identity in itself that your identity is in God and God alone. So this summer was also the first year that I've been on the Prestonwood. This summer was also the first summer that I've been on the Prestonwood Student Choir mission trip to the UK. And originally, I think I went in for the wrong reasons of just wanting to be with my friends and getting to see all these incredible sights. But when we were serving with a church, my family group were guest worship leaders. And afterwards, we just went out into the crowd and talked to people. And I met this lady named Anna. And she started telling me about she just happened to stumble in there that morning and how she was raised atheist, but she kind of knew that there was something more that she was missing. And so I had just done my best to tell her about the unconditional love of Jesus Christ and how it was unconditional because we can never meet its conditions. And the hardest part of that whole experience for me was like, I had never just shared my faith with someone like that. And I just really thought like I was gonna be the one to pray that prayer with her and I was gonna have this incredible testimony. But even though she didn't accept Jesus that day, I realized the important thing was planting the seed. And the last place that I expected in all of England to be able to share with someone was inside of a church. So that just made me realize, like, our mission field does not take a plane to get to. Like, our mission field can be the person sitting next to you or the person checking you out. And so my prayer for our senior class, every student at Prestonwood, and everyone listening here today, is that we will view every person as the next opportunity for someone to see God through you. Thank you.
Yeah, let's give these two students, Ben and Peyton, a hand. You guys just stay right there for one moment. Both of them stepping out by faith. What a challenge. I mean, how humbling is that? The two young students made it a priority this summer to take their relationship with God and make a witness for him the priority of what they were doing this summer. I don't know about you, but this morning, that humbles me. Paul said in Acts 20 that he considered his life worth nothing if only he would finish the race and complete the task. And that task is to testify to the gospel of God's grace. So this morning, church family, let this witness and the witness of the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God inside you. It's our job. It's a witness. It's to be bold wherever we go. Amen? Let's pray together and continue in worship. Father God, we love you. I thank you for the way that you moved in Peyton and Ben's life throughout this summer and for what you're doing in and through the faithfulness of this church family. God, I pray that we would be sons and daughters that honor you with all that we have and all that we are. God, keep us humble, reliant, and dependent on you for everything. And God, give us that same boldness that Ben and Peyton demonstrated this summer. That boldness to step out by faith and to share that sweet name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory as we worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mountain I could not climb in death. desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Thousand generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all will believe. Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cry. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever. Walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cry.
God, you are in this place. There is no one like you. You are the only one that is holy. You are the only one that is worthy. And we give all of our praise and attention to you because you deserve it. We love you. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for the privilege of opening God's Word today to the people of God. We know these words are always a savor of life unto life to anybody here who will receive them this morning. And so let's open our Bibles to Revelation. That's an easy one to find. It's the last book of your Bible. And to the first chapter. You know, I'm privileged to get to preach in a different church almost every Sunday all over the country. Next month I'll be in New York City. One Sunday I'll be preaching in Louisville, I'll be preaching in Memphis, but I want to tell you something. For those of you who this is all you know, let me just remind you, there's no place like Prestonwood. Anywhere, anytime, God has chosen to set down his blessing and his power on this place. And you know when he does it, he always uses leaders. If he's gonna start a reformation through Europe, he picks a Martin Luther. And, you know, I've known Jack Graham longer than anybody in this room. In fact, I've known him longer than anyone in his family now because he and I were teenagers together over in Fort Worth. And Jack is the same today as he was then, full of character, full of integrity. When I was listening to Ben give that testimony, it reminded me of me and Jack when our hearts were so hot for Christ when we were teenagers, sharing the gospel everywhere. And so what a blessing it is to be in this church and to see God work in such miraculous ways through the multiplicity of ministries here at Prestonwood. So in Revelation chapter 1, we come to what I call the Patmos principle. And I'm going to tell you what it is in just a moment. But first of all, let's look at our text in verses 9 and 10 of the first chapter of Revelation. John, now he's over 90 years of age. He's the only apostle who hasn't been martyred, who hasn't been killed. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul's head was chopped off outside the city gates of Rome. Every one of those apostles met a vicious martyr's death at the hands of the Roman persecutors. John, the only one that didn't, now he's over 90 years of age. And he says, I, John, your brother and partner in tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. He says, I'm your brother, Adelphos. That means one, somebody who shares one mutually shared life. John says, listen, I'm your brother. Listen to me now because we share a mutually shared life. He's writing to us 2,000 years later. And he says, your partner, your synergos, you're that one who I can identify with. And so what Paul is going through, he's reminding us at the beginning that nobody in this room is having a more difficult situation in life right now than he was experiencing in Patmos. So he says, I, John, your brother and partner, I was on the island called Patmos on account of, because of, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was on the island called Patmos, but, he says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's the Patmos principle. It's not where you are. It's whose you are that really matters the most. Some of you are in a difficult situation right now with all of your attention focused on Patmos. The problems and the difficulties of tribulation and, and struggles and trials and financial pressures and all that stuff. And if we're not careful, we focus all on Patmos. But the Patmos principle is this. It's not where you are, it's whose you are. He said, I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, all my Christian life since I was saved when I was 17, I've read the book of Revelation. And I've read this, but I never understood these two verses until I physically visited the island of Patmos. It's in the Aegean Sea off the Asia Minor coast. And if you haven't been there and you read this, you say, oh, Paul, oh, John, what a blessing he is. He's out there on a Greek island. He's kind of getting a really good retirement, really good trip, like Mykonos or like Rhodes or like off the western coast of Amalfi at the Isle of Capri. This is a great experience for John. After all he's been through, now he's getting to have some leisure on a Greek isle. But if you've ever been to Patmos, you know that's not true. John found himself on Patmos, a very difficult place. Listen, he says, I was on the island called Patmos. Now, if you think your situation is tough, let me try to describe in a minute or two what Patmos was like. It's an island you can visit till this day, 10 miles long, about 4 miles wide. They're in the Aegean. It's desolate, it's rocky, it's mountainous, it's barren, it's basically uninhabited. It's like a big rock in the middle of a beautiful blue Aegean Sea, sort of like an Alcatraz, if you can think about that, in the middle of the sea. Rome used it during their empire to dump criminals and the mentally insane people. Rome conquered that Mediterranean world from one country after another to one people after another. They with the iron hand of Rome, those Roman legions marched through that Mediterranean world. And when they would conquer a people, what they would do to be able to control them, they would take everybody out of the prisons, all the hardened criminals, and they'd put them on a ship, and they would take them to this island called Patmos. And they would dump them off there and leave them there. No supplies, no nothing, just leave them there. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, there were mental institutions, asylums, where mental health was not something that was understood at all. And they would conquer people, and not only would they take all the criminals, they would take all the mentally insane. And they would take them, put them on ships, take them to Patmos, and dumped them on that island. It was like a zoo filled with wild humans. And John says, I was on the island called Patmos. The Caesar, you see, had made images of himself. And if you didn't bow down to those images and acknowledge that Caesar was Lord, you met all kinds of horrible fates. Most of the people died. All of those apostles, none of them would recant, and all of them met martyrs' deaths. And into the next generations of the Christian church, Polycarp, the pastor of the church over at Smyrna, was burned to the stake because he would not recant and claim that Caesar was Lord. Ignatius, the pastor of the great missionary church at Antioch, was thrown to the wild animals. They devoured his body because he would not bow down to say that Caesar was Lord. Now John, once that carefree Galilean fisherman, the one in the upper room, remember, that leaned on Jesus' breast, the one who pastored those many years the church at Ephesus you read about in the Bible, now he's over 90 years of age. And because he wouldn't bow down to Caesar's command, they took him and dumped him on the island called Patmos. Why? Well, look what he says in verse 9. I was on the island called Patmos. Why? On account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't recant. I wouldn't say that Jesus was not Lord. I exclaimed, Jesus is Lord. And I stood on the word of God. And because of that, I was put on the Isle of Patmos. You may be on a personal Patmos today of no real dealings of yourself. Maybe because you did something that was right. And yet you find yourself here in verse 9 in a very difficult circumstance, in a very difficult situation. Listen closely. He said, I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I want to remind you of something before you leave today. It's not where you are. It's not what's taking place all around you. You know what happens when we get in a difficult situation, financially, relationally? We tend to put all of our focus on it. We tend to get right there on Patmos and just sort of stay there and live there in defeat. But it's not where you are, it's whose you are. And my goal today is to get you out of verse 9. And when you walk out these doors in a few minutes, you walk out these doors in verse 10. You move from that place where you say, I may have come in this room today on the Isle of Patmos, but I'm leaving in the Spirit. Amen. On the Lord's day, because he has a purpose and a plan. So there are three things we see on Patmos. Here's the first thing we see. When we live on Patmos and when we look at Patmos in the context of Revelation 1, we see liabilities. Look at John. Listen to him. He said, I was on the island called Patmos. There's so much behind that phrase. When he says that, it was filled with liabilities. Talk about liabilities. Patmos was filled with them. The surroundings were adverse. The type of people with whom he had to associate or remove himself from. Think about it. No place to sleep. He had to scrounge around up there and find some crevice or some cave to try to get away so he could sleep. He had to scrounge for his food. What was he going to eat? When he says this phrase, I was on the island called Patmos, don't just keep reading. There's so much behind this. Patmos was filled with liabilities. And so on our personal Patmos, those waves beat against you today. Somebody here today, faced with all kinds of liabilities. Maybe financial liabilities. Maybe you don't know how you're going to get through next month. Maybe relational. Relational problems with loved ones or friends. And you're faced on your own personal Patmos with these liabilities of all kinds today. And you've just focused on them. And you live in verse 9. But stop for just a minute. That's only half the story. Listen to him. He said, I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when he said that, you know what happened to all those liabilities? They gave way to lordship. John began to see that there was a purpose in his predicament. There was a purpose in where he was. When he said, when he moved from verse 9 to verse 10, when he said, I was on the island called Patmos, yeah, I was there, and believe me, it's full of liabilities, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's not where I am, it's whose I am. And when he said that, all of that gave way to lordship. John saw a purpose in his plight. John remembered that Jesus was in control of his circumstance and his situation. He had been with Jesus back on the Mount of the Beatitudes. He had heard Jesus say, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before. He had been with Jesus up in the Galilee when Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. From this experience on Patmos, you got the revelation, the apocalypse. There was a purpose in his being there. God was about to unveil to him. God got him away from everything that he knew and isolated him there because he had something for you. The revelation, the most incredible book in the Bible that opens the whole end of times to us. And John saw a purpose. He saw lordship there. And so what did he say? He said, I was on the island called Patmos. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice with a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. There was a purpose in where he was. God gave him the revelation. And John says, up in verse 15, his feet, he saw the resurrected Christ in all of his glory. And he says he was one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, the word of God. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. But he said, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Right, John. Write, therefore, the things you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall come, meta, tau, tau, after this. And John started to write, and you got the book of Revelation. Because he didn't focus on where he was. He didn't let all the liabilities on his own personal Patmos blind him from the lordship that God had a purpose in it. So I speak to some of you on Patmos today. Run up against liabilities in your life. Maybe there's a purpose. Maybe God is using them to get you to a place where he wants to do something grand and glorious in your life. And if you could ever get out of verse 9 to say, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, your liabilities could be turned into lordship. And Jesus Christ could reign as Lord of your life. It's not where you are. It's whose you are. You know, when I've been on Patmos, and I've been there many times, I don't mean physically, I mean in my own experience, liabilities, difficulties, focused on 95% of the things I worried about never happened. Some of you today are here and you're worried about something. Chances are really good it's never even going to happen. And as long as you keep your focus on Patmos, you're never going to move out of it. So apply this principle to your life today. It's not where you are, it's whose you are. Yeah, sure, I'm on the Isle of Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now there's a second thing we see on Patmos, not only liabilities that can be turned into lordship, but Patmos is filled with limitations. Some of you are there, and you're just limited by certain things. Financial, whatever. It could be a number of 100,000 things. Because Patmoses that come to us personally, when we find ourselves on a personal Patmos, it's often filled with these limitations. Look at John. He says, I was on the island called Patmos. Don't read past that. There is so much behind that phrase. That horrible, rugged experience was filled with limitations. Every morning he woke up and he saw the sea just surrounded that island. That's all he could see was the sea. At night, when he'd find a place to try to pillow his head on some rock or some log or whatever, he would look and all he would see would be the moon flashing across the sea. cut off, isolated, out of control, nothing he could do about it. It's where some of you are today, on a personal Patmos. And your circumstances and situation before you look so out of control that there's nothing you can do to change it, in a sense. John couldn't sit with his family anymore. Couldn't see his grandkids. He couldn't walk through the agora, the marketplace over at Ephesus where he'd spent those years pastoring and visit with his friends. He didn't have his books, his parchments. He had no news of what was going on. He was isolated. He was cut off. Many of us are faced with this. I was on the island called Patmos syndrome that's filled with liabilities and filled with limitations. But stop again, because that's only half the story. Listen to what he said. He said, I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when he said that, you know what happened to those limitations? They gave way to liberty. You know what he realized? That when he was in the Spirit, he was free. Earlier, John had written in his gospel, recorded some of the words of Jesus, who said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He had written those words. Now he experienced it. And when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, those limitations gave way to liberty. His compadre Paul had said to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You may be on a personal Patmos filled with limitations, but they can be lost in the liberty that comes in Jesus Christ. Amen. When you get out of verse 9 and start living in verse 10, when you realize today that 95% of the stuff you're worrying about is not even going to happen, and when you begin to realize it's not where you are, it's not those circumstances and situations around you that matter most, it's not where you are, it's whose you are. He's not abdicated his throne. John knew he was in complete control. He's in complete control of your circumstance and situation. Not a thing has happened in your life he's not aware of. And he can take your liabilities and turn them into lordship with purpose. He can take your limitations and turn them into liberty and set you free even on a personal Patmos. Why? Because it's not where you are, it's who you are. And I got a final word for you. And I'm through. Listen to John. He said, I was on the island called Patmos. Don't just keep reading. Think about that a moment. There's so much behind that phrase. Because on Patmos, we not only see liabilities and limitations, but we see loneliness. That's Patmos was filled with it. Loneliness. Look at John. Listen to him. How he missed his friends. How he missed his family. How he missed being able to talk to somebody. No one to talk to. He was the companion of a bunch of hard-hearted, embittered people. Loneliness. I'm speaking to people today who are saying, I'm on the island called Patmos. I'm lonely. Loneliness. I said a minute ago, John looked up and all he saw was the sea. It was just separated him from everything. That's why in Revelation 21, when he gives us that beautiful picture of heaven, the new Jerusalem coming down out of God, a bride is adorned, and here comes that holy city down. And what does he say in verse 1? When he's talking about heaven, he makes a little parenthetical statement we just read past, and here's what he says. And there was no more sea. Think about that. No more sea. No more separation. That's what heaven is. No more limitations or liabilities. No more loneliness. No more sea. Nothing to separate me from everything I hold dear to and that I love. Have you ever been lonely? I'm speaking to people today who are lonely. You know, some of the wealthiest people in Dallas are some of the loneliest. Susie and I watched The Crown. Maybe many of you watched that, about the king and queen of England. And in that one episode, there she was, up there in Buckingham Palace, amid all the splendor and wealth and glory, but she was lonely. Maybe you're here today on a personal Patmos. Maybe you've had a great loss. Maybe you're lonely. You know, I was drove into the church today. I was driving down Park. And you know what I thought? I thought, I wonder what would happen. Thousands of people pass by Park, this church, every single day. Probably over 100,000 people. I thought, you know, if we put a big old sign up there, out there by the street, that said, "Want to talk? We'll listen. Confidentially, no judgment," and just had a tent out there, we'd have a steady stream of people pulling in off of Park every day because somebody said, "Want to talk? We'll listen." Could be an incredible evangelistic tool. Because we're living in a bunch of world where people are on a personal Patmos of loneliness. But stop, that's only half the story. Listen to what he said. I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when he got there, you know what happened to all that loneliness? It turned into love. The love of God encompassed him. In the middle of his loneliness, the love of God embraced him. The love of God reached out to where he was, just like the love of God would reach out to where you are today. If you could ever get out of verse 9, if you get your focus off of your personal Patmos and move yourself into verse 10, to be able to leave here in a minute by saying, "But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Paul said in Romans 8, listen to this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" It's a good question. I'm sure these words were a comfort to John as he knew Paul had written these words earlier. Paul had already been dead 30 years by this time. Paul said, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or danger," all those things were on Patmos. All those things were on Patmos. "As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus." Friend, all those things on your Patmos can't separate you from the love of God. If you would let God love you.
Amen.
Today. If you could just get out of verse 9. If you could just move with John to say, "I was on the island called Patmos, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Your loneliness could be lost in love. Jack and I as teenagers used to sing a song. The story of that song is very interesting. When over 100 years ago, there was a place when here in America, we didn't know anything about mental health like we do today, and they had places called insane asylums. They were like prisons where we would take people that had mental health issues and just put them in these institutions, many of whom never needed to be there, but they did, and they would be left there for years and years and years. And in one such asylum up in the Northeast, there was a man who'd been in there for years, considered to be insane, and he died. And they moved his body out, and the janitors came in to whitewash his little cell dormitory and make it ready for the next person. And they noted some words that had been written on the wall above his cot in pencil. And they took them down, they recorded them. And in 1917, a Nazarene preacher named Lehman took those words, and Fred Lehman put them to music. As teenagers, Jack and I used to sing them. That man they thought was so mentally insane on his personal Patmos. Here's what he wrote on that wall. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. That's the love of God. And when you can get to verse 10, your loneliness can be filled with the love of God, because it's not where you are. It's whose you are that matters most. For some of you, you're just living on Patmos, with liabilities, with limitations, with loneliness. Maybe all those things are against you. Over here at PCA in the English department, these kids are going to learn a poem that everybody ever took high school English learned, by an American poet named Robert Frost. You remember what he said? He said, two roads diverged in the yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent into the undergrowth, then took the other. I shall be telling this with a sigh, he said. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Two roads in this fork that we bring you to this morning. One is the road of Patmos. Somewhere you're so focused on it because you live in the midst of it like John, with liabilities and limitations and such loneliness. And that's the only road you've known to travel. I'm gonna challenge you today to get off that road and take the one less traveled by. And get yourself off of Patmos, out of verse 9 and into verse 10 by saying, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when you mean it, you'll find a new freedom and a new liberty. You'll find the love of God that will fill you with His fullness. And you'll know it's not where you are. It's whose you are that matters most. Let's bow our hearts together as we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this room. I mentioned at the beginning of this message that my goal this morning was to get you out of verse 9 and into verse 10. And so some of you I'm speaking to today, as we sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take courage. Because some of you are at that crossroads this morning and need to come to the point in your life where you can begin to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some of you can't do that because you've never been in the Spirit. You've never known the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God that tugs at your heartstrings, that draws you to Christ, that calls you today to begin to take this road less traveled by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, which mayhaps you've never done. And you'll begin the great adventure for which He created you in the first place, to know Him, whom to know is life, abundant and eternal. So if you're here today, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, I'm going to ask you to make your way down these aisles in a moment. Our ministers will be here at the front. By your coming, you're going to be saying, I want to go God's way today. Others of you here today, and you've already put your faith and trust in Christ, but you're on Patmos. You need to make a public pledge of your life to Christ. You need to say, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I'm going to ask you to make your way down these aisles and make a public pledge of your life to Christ. Some of you here today with a friend who needs Christ, take that friend by the hand. Say, let's go God's way. I'll go with you. Let's go together. Bring your friend to Christ. Maybe you're here by yourself. Say, preacher, I don't know what I need, but I know I need something. No, you've been looking for something to fill the void of life. It's never done it. The something you think you need is someone, and His sweet name is Jesus. He's got a brand new beginning for you today. Some of you here today need to move into verse 10. Some of you here today, Christians, but not active in the locals, you need to come and put on the uniform of church membership. Join this local church. Serve with Christ through this church. As God calls, as God speaks, as you stand at that fork between Patmos and the Spirit, take the road less traveled by today. Let these aisles be that path for you.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.